Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Paul Stevens could only be fairly described as a tornado force personality. NRL fans of a certain age will recognise the Stevens footballing dynasty at the Cronulla Sharks, where Paul was skipper for a time. Together with his brother Jason, they were key spiritual leaders at the club, earning them the media epithet, the God Squad. When Paul hung up his boots, he dedicated his life to ministry, enrolling in Bible College, where he set himself a 10-year plan. That plan included having his own spiritual community to serve, as well as speaking around the world. Let's find out how he's going. Paul Stevens, welcome to Open House. Let's go back to the Paul of St. George and Cronulla footy clubs. How fully sorted was your faith as you started ascending through the ranks of competitive footy?
It's great to be here, Dwayne. Thanks for having us. And I love the days of footy. When I first was playing grade, I played for a number of years, and I always had a belief in God, but I never really had a solid faith. It was during that time because it's funny, with footy you get thrown a lot of things. There's money, there's, you know, media. I was on the TV playing
all the
games
time.
And stuff like that, and you know, signing autographs, you know, which is just a dream for a young bloke. And but it's funny, I really didn't find the contentment, the fulfillment I was looking for. And it was during that time, not that I realised I was searching, but really I was searching, because my footy didn't give me the answers. You know, relationships with girls didn't give me the answers. And
was there a particular trigger that started the search in earnest for you?
Yeah, there was. There's probably two things. One was the St George Chaplain. Each team's got a chaplain generally.
Yeah.
And what he did was, he did something crazy. He grabbed the poster which had myself on there, and my brother as well was playing at the time, Jace. And he stuck it on the back wall of his church, and he challenged his congregation to pick a player and pray for him. And that's just, I reckon I had maybe some person that didn't have a clue about footy, saw my ugly mug on the post, and said, I better pray for that guy. He needs help, you know? And I think from there, I had a couple of cousins that started praying for me as well, because they just found faith and realized I needed some help, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I really took notice, and my brother as well. And he had a good mate who was in sports ministry, who really had a heart for sports people, particularly high profile. And what he did was he wanted to meet with me, this guy, but I was very good at sidestepping on the field, and I did the same to him. He'd ring and I'd just say I'm not home and all that, you know. He spoke about Jesus. I only used the word Jesus to swear.
Yeah.
But he spoke about Jesus like he was real and alive. That really freaked me out a little bit, but I knew there was something different. Anyway, he sent me a DVD in the mail. This is a funny story, because he knew he couldn't get me. But, you know, God, he's got his ways, you know. One night I came home from a date really late at night, and I was felt so frustrated and empty. And here's this DVD sitting on the lounge. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was wide awake. I thought, I might as well just throw it on. And the Christian DVD just really hit me. It was about a bloke like me, had everything. He was a business person, but really he was empty, and I could start relate to it. Initially, I scoffed, you know, particularly said, hey, you know, you can say a prayer to invite Christ into your life. I started laughing. I said, who says a prayer with a DVD? By the end of it, here's this big, tough footballer, right? That the news that God loved me that much, hey, I was a rebel from the head coach, but God loved me that much, he suffered the punishment for me. Mate, this big tough football, I started having water fall down from my eyes. And at the end, I was like, oh God, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I started praying this prayer, not knowing really what I'd done. But I remember that night, I slept the best I'd ever slept. And I woke up and I rang that guy that I was brushing off. I said, mate, I got to talk to you.
So you go back to the footy club and you start to be a different bloke. How do you deal with what inevitably comes when you start to say, you know what, I'm not into that anymore, or I'm doing something else, I'm going to church?
I didn't have particular wisdom at that time, and I remember going around trying to share my faith with everyone, because I was so excited, because I'd found something, you know, where I felt a little discontentment. Now I felt this peace, I was sleeping better, you know, like I realised God was real, and he, you know, started having this relationship. So I want everyone to know about it. I started hitting him on the head with the Bible, literally, and that didn't do me any good. I got a little bit persecuted from the boys at the club. But then I realised, you know, with some good mentoring, that hey, just live the lifestyle and let the boys see. And they did notice, you know, which was great, particularly when I moved to the Sharks from the Dragons. You know, that was really where I just started to live the lifestyle, and blokes really respected. They made fun of us for a joke, but yeah. It's funny when
because you were part of the God Squad, weren't you?
Look, that's what the you know there was my brother Jace was another guy Jeff Bell and then Matty Rogers joined us. There was a number of guys plus the chaplain George Capsis of the club, and we had the most number of Christians in any club in any high profile sport in the nation at that time. Wow. And there was only a small number of us, but that was a lot. And the media called us the God Squad, which we actually really liked.
Yeah.
And because I guess all of us really, we felt that, hey, we're footballers, but also really we're been sent to bring the blessing of God and the values of God to the club to help, you know, share the great things that we've experienced in Him. And so we were really proud they called us the God Squad. And, you know, and we just thought, hey, we used to meet actually once a week. Johnny Lang was so good, the coach, he'd give us the corporate box so we could pray in before training.
Yeah.
And so we just have good fun, you know, and fellowship and hang out and pray for the boys and for ourselves. And, you know, there'd be times where, I mean, there was one guy who lost his really close mate. He was one of our teammates in a surfing accident. He drowned. And he came out with tears. To get some prayer, you know. And it's funny when rubber hits the road, when things go wrong, I found the boys didn't go to their mates who they drink with at the pub. They actually came to the God Squad because they knew that we actually were genuinely caring, and they knew we prayed for them, and and we actually prayed for this young guy, and it was a great opportunity just to show the kindness and love of God during that tough time.
I love the fact that you're a pretty pumped up guy, you're pretty excitable, you love life. But when you left footy, not all went to plan though, did it? It wasn't an easy transition as you came out of footy. There are tough times for people of faith.
Oh, no, definitely for sure. And I think the footy had been so much part of my life. But, you know, being known and being, you know, in the media and stuff like that. So your identity really gets wrapped up in being a footballer. Then suddenly you're not a footballer anymore. One or 2 years' time. You know, no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that really is that you have a bit of an identity crisis. And I think I'm so grateful that I had faith to know that my identity is really in who God says I am. I'm His son. You know, I'm loved. I'm accepted. I've got great significance, even if I don't play in front of crowds, because He's called me to do a special job that, you know, only I could do, only you can do, et cetera, you know. And He's got a great plan for our life. So that really helped, but it was a tough transition. But I was very fortunate because I really felt God call me into the ministry. So I had something that I really focused, that took my attention and I focused on, which was, you know, I wanted to go to Bible college and I ended up being asked to go on staff part-time in my local church because I really felt there was a call in my life to do that, you know.
When you sign up to become a full-time competitive pastor, as opposed to a competitive footy player, you know, it's a different game altogether. And you actually step right outside of your coastal boundaries and you choose to be a part of a church flock that, on the face of it, would seem to be very different from the life you came from. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I actually pastored for 10 years locally, which was wonderful because I had so many connections being, you know, a Sharks player, which was great. But then, I'd finished there after 10 years and I was just praying about my future and God really spoke to me about planting a church, you know, in an area that I'd never been before.
Yeah.
And so actually, if I could share the experience, I was just getting ready to go to bed one night and literally like God's presence filled my room and He spoke to me, not audibly, but just in my heart, you know, and literally it was a bit like the burning bush experience of Moses, you know, except Moses wasn't in his PJs going to bed like I was, you know, but He really spoke to me clearly and kind of like commissioned me. And there was a couple of problems with that. One, I'd never been to Camden before where I ended up planting the church.
For those listening around the country, western suburbs of Sydney,
southwest suburbs of Sydney. Yeah, about an hour from Sydney.
Yeah, and a long way from Cronulla and the beachside suburbs.
About you know, I like to say I swapped riding the surfboard for riding a horse, you know. To be honest, I can't do either, but it just sounds good. But I went to an area I didn't know, and I had no team. It was just me, you know. And what was worse, I was a Sharks fan. I was going into West Tigers territory, NRL territory, you know.
Not so. Traditional bedmates, yeah, I must
say. That's right. I had a mate. He made me laugh. He said, "Camden? No, God's telling you Cambodia." That made me feel better.
Because sometimes the tough projects are closer to home, aren't they?
Oh, to be honest, that's true.
going from plan to action, your life's been marked by a whole bunch of very decisive moments where you don't muck around, you just look at it and go, yep, well, that's it, I'm going there. How did it actually work for you?
Look, you know, because I started from scratch, obviously there's other churches out there. God spoke to me about, about planning, you know, Lifehouse Church, which I called it. And it's, I mean, initially this was my experience. You're going to laugh. I'm walking the streets and saying, oh, Holy Spirit, where do I go?
Yeah, like,
trying to emulate the book of Acts. And I had a laugh because the first time God spoke to me, he said, go into this store. And I had this argument with God on the street. I'm not going into that store because that's a woman's store. It sells only women's clothing, right? And I'm not going in there. Anyway, the lady who's by the counter sees me arguing with no one. And I thought, this is too embarrassing to go into a new area. This lady think I'm a kook. So I walked in there. I made up some excuse. I was buying something for my mum or my sister, you know. And a little white lie there. And, you know, in the end, we end up, she said, oh, I said, look, I'm buying something for my mum. She said, I'm so glad because I wasn't sure whether you're a cross dresser. You know, and, we started having a laugh. But you know what? We end up talking and I shared what I was doing and end up sharing my faith. And she ended up coming to a service and, you know, that we were. So it was God in the end. It wasn't sure it was the God or the devil at that time making fun of me going to a woman's store, but it worked. And even to the point where you know, I was looking for a venue, and I was going to all these different venues to run church, and I saw this this player that I'd played with, and I couldn't believe he'd moved out. He was here in this area, an hour and a half away from where we both lived, and he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "What are you doing here?" And we hugged and all that. And actually what it was he, I saw him in the pub because after, you know, looking at different venues, I was a bit thirsty. I thought I heard God's voice say, go buy a lemon squash. I know this sounds crazy. Comes very
to,
practical.
Comes to me often, I must say.
Well,
yeah.
It wasn't lemon squash, but nothing else stronger at that time.
Yeah.
But, and I wanted to say hello to the manager because I was introducing myself to everybody in the area just as a way to get to know. But I didn't get a chance. Someone else served me. I was a bit disappointed. Saw my mate there. Who does he pull over? He pulls over his brother-in-law, says, this is my brother-in-law, he's the manager of the pub. Within 3 minutes, the guy says, I don't go to church, but if you ever want our venue, we want to give it to you for free. And I just thought, this is crazy, because he didn't even know I was looking for a venue, and he didn't know I didn't have any money either. So that was really awesome. God's provision, you know.
You've dived into TV ministry as well.
That's right. That was totally out of the blue. And I was asked to speak with the head of our movement overseas, and just to accompany him. And I got to share, you know, some of my stories in a church, a small church in the UK. And sitting in the congregation was a guy from Inspiration TV, which is quite big overseas. And he said, "Mate, I liked what you said." And I told him some of the stories like I'm telling you. He said, "Can we put you on TV?" I said, "Are you serious?" You know, he showed me his portfolio. It's got all these big, high-name profile speakers, you know, and me. I'm fortunate to have my sister Angie. She was like a producer on it, helped me cut down.
Oh, and Angie's with us in the studio, by the way.
And it's wonderful because really, God wants to do amazing things for us, and he wants to do amazing things through us. And really, that I guess the essence of a lot of my messages is just that, because I'm no one special. But hey, if you're willing, you put your hand up, God can do amazing stuff. Even someone like an ex-footballer meathead like me, you know?
Angie, grab that microphone for me. Tell me about how sharing these kinds of stories with your brothers and your family changes your faith or impacts your faith.
Absolutely uplifts me. If I can use one word, it'd be uplifting, because as you can see, the level of enthusiasm of Paul, it's hard to match that level of enthusiasm. However, it encourages and spurs me on, because my family I love lives like the book of Acts, like that anything is possible. Healing is for now. God's love is real. And I love that I can take that out into the marketplace. And my family is my family is the place that I come to and I through Paul and his church to get uplifted and filled with hope and filled with faith. And then you can take it out to your friends that don't know about the love of God.
It strikes me the testament of your family is actually the power of an us in faith, and that those of us who think that we can do this alone, you're asking for trouble. And you guys as a family are testament to the fact that you are better when you're together.
My mum's always been one to say that God blesses unity, and in unity there's strength. So we make it a priority to get together, to pray. We do Bible studies together and share on a real level what God is talking to us and what he's doing in our life. And I think that encourages us. It fills us with strength, and it also helps us to know, hey, you're not alone, guys. And life hasn't been easy for our family, and I think that's the reason why we've stuck together, because we've had some real low points, but we've seen God come through and continually to come through.
You and I are going to spend some time together, and we'll have our own conversations.
Awesome.
Clearly, we can't have one with this guy in the room. And thank goodness Jason hasn't arrived. There'd be no room for any of us. Angie and Paul, thanks so much for swinging by Open House, and let this not be the last time we spend some time together. Huh?
That'd be awesome. It's been a great top interview. Thank you so much for having us both.
Good to see you.
Such an honour. Thank you.
Yeah.